Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
A former resident of Knoxville has a new exhibit at Art 101 in Knoxville. What inspires his work? How does he do it? And why is his exhibit titled Brain Food? Let's go in depth with Andrew Carter of Emmitsburg. So, Andrew, where are you from?
I live in Emmitsburg, Iowa. And that's about 3 hours away from here. But I was born and raised in Knoxville, graduated from Knoxville High School in 1981. So when I come back to town, it's a great pleasure to be able to show at Art 101 and meet some past friends and family members that still live here. They get a chance to see what I've been up to as far as my artwork.
Well, and you've got a wide array of really wonderful art here. What do you have, 50 pieces?
I think there's approximately 50 pieces, and this is a small portion. I am a prolific painter. I do a lot of painting. I paint primarily in the summer months. I have a studio that's on my outdoor, kind of halfway outdoors on a porch, and I enjoy painting with natural sunlight and to be able to be outside, and although I don't typically do a lot of nature pieces, but I like the painting in the warm weather, and I do probably 80 to 90 pieces a year.
Well, where do the ideas come from? It looks like, I'm just going to say from the beginning, it looks like a wide variety of inspiration.
Yes, actually, I have a technique that I've seen other artists use, and to get inspiration for a painting, I usually start off with a random brush stroke on a canvas or a surface, and then I look at that, and I might turn the canvas upside down and around until I see a recognizable image using negative space, that sort of thing. And once I see that image, then I develop it. I take it a step further, and then I turn it into something. So a lot of times what the enjoyment I get out of creating art is sometimes I don't know what the end result is going to be. Once I get started on it and once I capture that image and start to develop it, the painting grows. It's like reading a book. You don't know how it's going to end. And then the key is to know when to stop painting, when to finish your artwork and say this is a finished piece.
Well, now our listeners might be thinking that your work is wholly abstract, but no, there's real people, animals, situations. It's not just brush strokes, you know, in an interesting order or pattern.
There's abstract technique in it. Mm-hmm. It's some of them are loosely painted, but yeah, I like to use a lot of imagery, and they're not, you know, they're not perfect people. They're not photorealistic images, but every painting has kind of an underlying story to it, and I allow the viewer to interpret and look at the piece, and I might guide them a little bit in that process, but the pieces, I use a lot of bright color. I love the use of color. I love the use of colors that clash against each other, but the pieces, I know I have pieces that people have purchased from me, and years later they'll contact me and say the piece totally changed its meaning to me over the course of many years, because it starts out, they see the surface, and then as they look at it and view it, they start to pick out other things and hidden pieces and things like that. And I like art that grows with the viewer.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with painter Andrew Carter. Well, it's pretty interesting to me. When I walked in, I was just overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed by the colors, mm-hmm. by the shapes, by the images, by what was represented. And then I've been here chit-chatting a little bit with folks for an hour, and they've all been glancing at the art. They've all been emerging. It's all
yes.
been taking on different personalities, and it's a constant learning process since I've been here.
it almost sometimes it can be when they're in a room like this where you have 50 pieces hanging together, you run the risk of it being overstimulating. But at the same time with the color, it draws you in, and I'm not afraid to use color. And some artists struggle with that because the color, they back it off and try to keep their pieces a little more neutral. I throw literally every color at the canvas.
And I would say that there's colors that don't go together that you put together, you know, in our classic Western mm-hmm. sense of color theory, I guess it is. But when you look at the total piece, it's almost like it couldn't have been any other way.
It follows the line of the show's title, Brain Food. And there's studies have been done, just like music in its connection with mathematics, that artwork stimulates the brain. And when children and when individuals enjoy art and view art, it actually does something internally to your brain. And for lack of a better term, it makes you smarter. Your brain thinks, your creativity. And that's why I like to paint the way I paint, because I feel it stimulates that. And that's why I called my show Brain Food, because it's food for your brain. Too many of us are in front of a clicker, in front of a TV or a computer screen, and images flash by so fast. We're very fickle. We have to click that channel. We have to be stimulated constantly, and that's with the use of color. I capture the stimulation part, but the subject matter, the theme, what's going on, causes you to kind of reflect, forces of you, whether you like it or not, it does demand you to become involved in the painting a little bit.
Well, and your paintings are telling a story. Some art, I guess all art is telling a story of some mm-hmm. sort, but it's pretty clear that you're asking us to get into the piece, to be a participant, to
yes.
learn what the story is, and maybe even help create the story.
Yeah, I love it when someone... I oftentimes try to stand back when people are looking at it, because when I jump in and kind of help a little bit, people say, you know what, I saw something completely different. And I love that part of it, because every person can connect in some way, you know, through the use of color. I was talking to a person in here earlier. I've had one person come up and say an image was very disturbing to them or very deep and dark. And then the next person comes along and sees total beauty in the same piece. So it's very interesting to gauge people's reactions on artwork. And I actively use Facebook and things like that. While I'm painting at home in my studio, when I'm in the process of painting, I'll take a picture and put it on the internet, and I get people's reactions from it. And it's very difficult, though, to interpret the same thing in a thumbnail size photo. Seeing it in real life is a completely different experience.
Well, there's some things about some of the paintings, too, that it's almost like you're arriving at the painting at an intimate moment. It's like you almost shouldn't be there. There's sort of a voyeuristic thing to it. For example, there's a man lying in a bed of hay, I'll say, with a bottle beside him, and a woman has a pointed finger, and it's sort of like I'm interpreting that she might not be happy with him, or she might be telling him what she wants him to do, but there's a story, there's an intimacy there, and he's not responding very well. That's
yes,
how I'm reading it.
Yes, and you're reading that. The actual piece is called The Patron, and it's a view on the people's interaction with art. I've got a couple pieces in here that tell the story of people's interpretation of art. I used to do a lot of art shows, a lot of those art fairs. You know how you go and you see the tents up around a square, or in the Des Moines Art in the Park, those type of things. And it was very interesting, people walking up and looking at artwork. This painting is a woman. It becomes a 3D type painting because you look at it and it does look like she's actually looking at a gentleman in the hay. She's actually looking at the painting, but she's almost one-dimensional. She's flat, and he's almost... It's a reverse. Instead of the whole painting being more three-dimensional, you look at it and you say the viewer becomes the plain flat painting, while the painting becomes the life, the reality.
Well, in her finger pointing, we can interpret it whether she's liking the painting or not.
Yes.
And it
yes.
transfers to the individual what he's doing in the paint.
And that's the whole thing. You know, I paint for my sheer enjoyment. I paint because I have to, because it's in me. And ever since I was a small child growing up, I always drew and painted. In school, I would draw pictures, and my friends that I meet up with always remember me as the kid who drew pictures. And I was always able to pull people in and tell a story. And interpretation is a huge part of any artwork, and I love to get that viewer involved and have them decipher what's going on in the painting.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with painter Andrew Carter. Well, there's one. Well, you've got several that are like carnivals, and people. I don't know. I guess what did you call those guys? Barkers or medicine
yes,
show guys?
Yes, the rubes at the carnival. Growing up, I always was very interested in growing up here in Knoxville when the county fair came and the carnival came to town. It was fear and excitement at the same time, because your parents always told you, stay away from the carnies. The carnies are always out to trick you. You know, throw the ball and hit the pin and you never could hit it. And you know, so I always created that world in my mind of the carnival being an exciting place, lots of color, lots of activity, but yet an underlying little bit of evil in there. And I did a series called Carn Evil, and the pieces all tell a little bit of a story, and it's a story with a lot of color and a lot of bright stuff going on. But then you look at it and you think, what's really going on? Look at the people's faces. Are they happy to be there? Are they excited, or are they a little worried, you know, that maybe they're going to, you know, us in Iowa, we can be very cynical when someone offers us something and says, here's that piece has a sign with cures all, doctor in a bottle, those type of things. And I just like that, the whimsy of that too.
We've got a really nice small piece that I really like. It's of a piano player. And the piano keys are very large, the fingers are very large, and the man and the woman beside him, I presume that's a woman, are very small.
Yes.
It's the exaggeration of the hands and the keys, but really, now that I'm thinking about it, that's probably where the true emphasis on the music should be, that in the mind, because that's where the work is going on.
If you were a fly on the wall, or if you had... I tried in some pieces to paint a view that you can't possibly see with the camera, or if you were there watching a person play piano, you couldn't look up through the keys at the hands coming down and plunking away at the piano and see the face would be the farthest in the perspective, you know, because you're right there where the movement is.
Well, and you've got another piece, which is a train going through the center of a city, but it's also like going through a park, and it's a big train. It's I get the feeling of being a happy place, but then there are darker elements in it too. I see a pond, but then I also see a factory, so I don't know what's going on with
that
pond.
The factory's right next to the pond. So the viewer looks and they see, you know, in every city there's a pleasant side, there's a dark side, there's a center, and I always like to say, this is a great place, but you know, what about this? What about that factory by the pond? Is you know, so the viewer can look at it, and everybody can get their own interpretation. One person, it can make them feel totally at peace. Another person says, I'm a little worried about the factory next to the pond, you know, that sort of thing.
Well, and this piece here called Shut In is, for some reason, just very... I don't know. I'm engaged with it, but it's very troubling. It's an elderly person, very old person actually, and it's in bright red, which I wouldn't have thought about. But there's a picture of the heart, And then he's smoking a pipe, and he's looking, I guess, at his computer screen at a skull.
Yeah, with the seeing his own demise on the computer screen, or he's sitting there alone, and all he has in a connection to the world is that outside world, and he's seeing a reflection that his days are maybe numbered. He's alone. He's a shut-in, and though that type of painting, when I paint it. You know, there's a choice I have to make as an artist whether to fully detail, go in with deeper detail and go in a complete direction. And when I got to a certain point in that piece, the brush stroke, the flow, the tone of the painting, I had to stop. I said, this is it. This is what the painting is going to be. And again, when I talked about my technique is the random brush stroke, with brush stroke, the face in that gentleman was there when the paint dried. So then I developed that. Then I saw the legs, the arms. Then I saw the skull in a square box. And that's how I developed it into the shut-in. And it's framed with a rustic red frame. So I try to do my framing to kind of tie in with what you're seeing with the artwork.
Well, and there's certainly no dignity in the position that this poor fellow is in, but I still sort of see dignity there. He's alone, which is very sad. Mm-hmm. And I think he seems almost to have accepted his position, but I don't know that.
I'm just watching time go by. He's sitting there, and he's kind of got the heart is actually an image on his chest is dripping, kind of a bleeding heart. Maybe he's sympathetic to what the view he's seeing on the computer screen.
Well, this is certainly food for thought. Every piece is, I don't know, we could engage in long conversations, and it's just, you really brought me in to these paintings.
Well, thank you very much, and I enjoy, thank Art 101 and Felix and Frank. I had a show here about a year and a half ago, just a one-night show, and it's a good way for me to come back home and come back to Knoxville where I was born and raised. I lived just down the street. I grew up. If you look at some of the cityscape paintings, you're going to see some of the church steeples. Those are all inspired of my childhood. The courthouse, that steeple on the courthouse is always something that sticks in my mind. And so I'm very fortunate these guys let me come here and show my work, and I love for people to look at it and see it.
Well, and it's going to be here till when?
I think we're talking about originally it was going to be here just a couple days over the weekend, but we've decided to let the show stay for at least a couple more weeks after, maybe a month. We'll see what kind of, give everybody a chance to come in and see it. We like to keep it up in the air, so do encourage people to come up and see it while it's here. It isn't all about trying to sell artwork. It's exposing people to maybe something different. We all get caught on buying that painting to match the couch. I always like to tell people I'd like to have them buy one, if they bought a painting from me, to buy a couch to match my painting.
Thanks to Andrew Carter for contributing to the program.
For KNIA, KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.